Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey, everyone. I'm going to do this teaching today, and I'm going to kind of play with you, experiment with a little bit of something over the podcast, see how it translates for all of you folks. This is really pretty fascinating. Part of the idea in what I teach is that a person has to be in the right mindset to be able to receive it, to be able to really hear it. And if you take a topic like the laws of the universe, the seven laws of the universe, if I sit and listen to those seven laws, if I'm studying it for myself, even today, after doing this for 30 years or 25 years studying the laws, I still get excited when I study them. And one of the reasons that I get excited is because as I'm going through the study of those laws, I can see the unlimited potential that it could have in my life and my business. I can specifically see how I could get completely different results by learning to think based on those laws. Now, what's kind of fascinating about this is that a person could read that, they could read those laws, and it's just words on paper. It's like, oh yeah, that's interesting. Here's the law of polarity. Or, oh yeah, that's interesting. Here's the law of cause and effect. Without having any understanding that literally it's like they're digging in a gold mine, but they don't know it. They just have no clue the potential that it could actually have for their life. So there's this interesting proverb. It's Proverb 4:20 from the New Testament. Christ said, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." And what he was basically telling people was, in order for you to really get the impact and understand the potential of what I'm going to teach, you have to raise yourself up to a different level of understanding. And as you raise yourself up to a different level of understanding, the way that you'll hear what I'm saying to you, what I'm teaching to you, will have more of an impact. You'll be able to see more of the potential for what it is that I'm teaching you in your life. Now, what's the reason for that? Because it's more likely that you'll use it. It's more likely that you'll actually make a transformation. You'll change something about who you're being, what you're doing, what you're asking for in life. Where's the first place that we can start with this? The first place for every individual to start is to really understand what do they desire in life. And when I talk about desire, I'm talking about anything that's good, like obviously not bad desires or mean or hurtful desires, but any desire. It could be a car, it could be a house, it could be a new pair of shoes, it could be a business, it could be helping a massive charity, it could be absolutely anything. Your desire is giving you direction in your life that will lead you into your purpose. It will give you everything that you want to be, do, and have in this lifetime. But the key is that not only do you have to focus on it, you have to learn to obey the desire regardless of circumstances around you, meaning that the desire tells you what to do, the circumstances that you have to overcome in order to do that is done and completed by making the decision to follow the desire. So once I follow the desire and I make the decision that I'm doing that, meaning that I'm not leaving my way a way out of it, I'm not going to make excuses and not do it, everything that I need for the completion, the fulfillment, and the manifestation of that desire is going to come into my life in the form of some opportunity. That's just how the laws work. That's why there's nothing that's impossible. That's why the human potential is unlimited as far as we know. If I'm going to raise my level of understanding to a place where a teaching could make all the difference in how I manifest something, I have to focus on that desire, because the desire is going to raise my vibration. It's going to raise my interest. It's going to raise my excitement, my enthusiasm for what it is that I want to do in life. and I will hear a teaching like the one I'm going to give you today at a completely different level. I will start to see how the potential use of these thought processes that I'm teaching, these skill sets that I'm teaching, can literally have a completely different impact in my life. It's so very important. So think again, based on Proverbs 4:20. He said, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my saying." Raise your ear, raise the way that you're hearing. Now, we listen with our ears. We hear with our ears, but we listen with our emotions. When you're listening from the point of desire, you're listening emotionally to you what you want. It's part of who you are. It's part of what you want to create in the world. It's literally a guiding compass for your life because it leads you to the discoveries, the changes, the inclinations, the understandings, the purpose, the people, the possibility, the promise. It leads you to absolutely everything when you start to follow that desire. So before I get into this teaching, I want you to think about, what do you really want? Pick something that you have a magnificent obsession about in your life, and don't judge it. Whatever it is, let it be whatever it is. You don't have to tell anybody about it. You don't have to feel silly, embarrassed, shameful, guilty. Pick something before you listen to what I'm going to teach. And if you don't know right now, just hit pause. Take a few minutes and really think, what is something that I would really want? And then hold that image and that idea in your mind as you listen to this. And by the way, you can do it with all the podcasts that we've done and all the podcasts that we'll ever do as far as the teaching goes, right? Pick something that you really want and see the potential for how this teaching can actually help you get it. All right, what am I teaching? Let's get to it. As a man thinketh, thought and purpose. Okay, so I'm going to cover a couple of little chapters here in As a Man Thinketh. And the idea behind this is, through correct thinking, through successful thinking, we can create anything in our life that we want. We can manifest whatever we want. Thought and purpose. Until thought is linked with purpose, there is no intelligent accomplishment. With the majority of bark, with the majority of the bark of thought is allowed to drift upon the ocean of life, aimlessness is a vice, and such drifting must not continue for him who would steer clear of a catastrophe and destruction. They who have no central purpose in their life fall easy prey to petty worries, fears, troubles, and self-pityings, all of which are indications of weakness, which lead just as surely and deliberately as planned sins, though by a different route, to failure, unhappiness, and loss, for weakness cannot persist in the power-evolving universe. A man should conceive of a legitimate purpose in his heart. There's that desire that we're talking about. Man should conceive of a legitimate purpose in his heart and set out to accomplish it. He should make this purpose the centralizing point of his thoughts. It may take the form of a spiritual ideal, or it may be a worldly object according to his nature at the time of his being. But whichever it is, he should steadily focus his thought forces upon the object which he has set before him. He should make this purpose his supreme duty and should devote himself to its attainment, not allowing his thoughts to wander away into ethereal fancies, longings, and imaginings. This is the royal road to self-control and true concentration of thought. Even if he fails again and again to accomplish his purpose, as he necessarily must until weakness is overcome, the strength of character gained will be the measure of his true success and will form a new starting point for future power and triumph. Now, let's think about this for a minute. James Allen is literally talking about finding the desire in our heart, letting it become a magnificent obsession in our life, And, you know, as I'm teaching this, I know that there's going to be a whole group of people that start to go down the road of, is that good? Is that right? Is a magnificent obsession healthy? I can tell you this, with what it is that we're talking about in the direction that I'm teaching, it's truly about finding your purpose in life. And your purpose should be a magnificent obsession. It is the reason that you're here. It's the reason that you're here in this lifetime. It is the cause and effect of everything because it allows you to focus on something that you want to create. In other words, be, do, or have. You want to manifest that in your life. It is giving you the direction because it's with the attainment of this desire that you then begin to seek. It unfolds then, what do I need to learn? What do I need to learn? What do I need to become? What skills do I need to begin to practice and master for the attainment of that which I want? It then, through this process, it begins to unveil the purpose because let's say you want a car. Well, we know the car is not the purpose of your life, but through the attainment of that goal, you're going to become very aware of hidden motives inside of yourself, insecurities, weaknesses, doubts, fears, worries, the idea of what other people think of you. There's a whole host of things that we have to overcome and grow personally and professionally for the attainment of the thing, whatever that thing might be. We will also then find things that have a tremendous meaning to us individually, privately, in special ways to us. There becomes the unfoldment of your purpose as you begin to go through this journey. So it may seem ridiculous. Maybe you're in a situation where you don't have a lot of money. You have things that, from a logical standpoint, should be of a higher priority than buying a car. Things that are even have more importance in the moment than buying a car, yet your heart is filled and consumed with this idea of the car. Now, if I was just to throw that out and to tell anybody walking down the street, yeah, just, you know, go buy whatever the hell you want to buy, the lack of responsibility in that statement is that I'm not giving a complete teaching around the reason to do it. And also, what is your follow-up responsibility within that purpose? It's about the attainment and the becoming of your true self and lifting your whole self up as a thought-evolved being in the world to be able to continue to vision and set goals around your purpose and what it is that you're here to do in life. Keep in mind, every purpose that every individual has, every divine purpose or universal purpose, is not just for your life, but for the betterment of other people. So it betters other people, but it gives you something that most people in this world are desperately lacking, and that's a sense of fulfillment. Fulfillment comes, I believe, by being, acknowledging, and understanding what your purpose is, stepping into that and allowing yourself to fulfill that purpose, and then you get the feedback of what that's actually like on how you have a positive effect, not just on your own life, but on the lives of other individuals. Also, by example and inspiration, you're literally setting yourself up to be viewed in the world in a way where the potential, and I'm saying potential for a reason, the potential of the inspirational observation of who you are will sink into the hearts and minds of many other people. Now, the reason I'm saying potential is because the potential for the opposite is also there, and it bears the importance of knowing that. Meaning that once you decide to raise yourself above the mediocre, you will be judged. You will be judged by anybody outside of your circle of individuals that see you at the level that you currently are. And if their judgment is coming from immaturity, insecurity, low self-esteem, you may be out there trying to do the best damn thing that you could possibly do, yet you're judged for whatever reason by those people because there's an envy, there's a jealousy, there's an anger, a hatred, a vindictiveness that can go along with a person that is not achieving what they want, watching somebody else really strive to step into their purpose and do something better. And then they're like, what are you, a big shot now? You think you're better than everybody else? You know, your head's getting too big for to fit through the door. Like, there's all kinds of derogatory judgments that go along with watching somebody go through the struggle of life in order to become the person that they really want to become. Because let's face it, nobody gets it right the first time. We make mistakes. It is a process of growth. A person can also be way ahead in one area of their life and be way behind in another area of their life because that's just where they are in their own transformation for what it is they're doing. The whole key, though, is that we don't give up. The whole key is that if we fall, we get up and do it again. If we fall again, we get up and do it again. If we fall again, we get up and do it again. Not judging ourselves, but with each time trying to rectify what is the improper thought that's in my mind that's actually causing this. And this is why Alan said, why he's putting such emphasis on the idea of thought and purpose. What is the purpose behind the thought for what you're doing? That helps you break through the things that are difficult. He says, those who are not prepared for the apprehension of a great purpose should fix their thoughts upon the faultless performance of their duty, no matter how insignificant the task may appear. Now, let me just say how fast this can happen when you do this. The very first transformation that I made, and I was the epitome of an unconscious competent, was that I was changing three things in my attitude. I wanted to change the way that I felt about what I was doing, so I began to act like I loved what I did. I decided I was going to treat people with respect because that's the person that I wanted to be. And the third thing was that I was going to give everything my very best. And I didn't even know what that was until I actually got into, you know, the meat of really doing it and seeing, oh, this really isn't that good. You should go back and do that again because you know that you can do better. You can see how you can actually make this better. But what was miraculous about this was that as I began to go down that road, the purpose behind what I was doing began to unfold. I didn't have a big purpose when I started. I just wanted to increase my income because I was so damn miserable with where I was in my life. But through that process of going after those things, all of a sudden, a higher purpose, a deeper meaning began to come to the surface. He says, only in this way can the thoughts be gathered and focused and resolution and energy be developed, which being done, there is nothing which may not be accomplished. The weakest soul, knowing its own weakness and believing this truth, that the strength can only be developed by effort and practice, will thus believing at once begin to exert itself. And adding effort to effort, patience to patience, strength to strength, will never cease to develop and will at last grow divinely strong. As the physically weak person can make himself strong by careful and patient training, so the man of weak thoughts can make them strong by exercising himself in right thinking. To put away aimlessness and weakness and to begin to think with purpose is to enter the ranks of those strong ones who only recognize failure as one of the pathways to attainment, who make all conditions serve them, and who think strongly, attempt fearlessly, and accomplish masterfully. Having conceived of his purpose, a man should mentally mark out a straight pathway to its achievement, looking neither to the right nor to the left. Doubts and fears should be rigorously excluded. They are disintegrating elements which break up the straight line of effort, rendering it crooked, ineffectual, and useless. Thoughts of doubt and fear never accomplish anything, and they never can. They always lead to failure. Purpose, energy, power to do, and all strong thoughts cease when doubt and fear creep in. I think this is an important statement to make. If you are if you are really focused on what you're doing, where you're going in life, and you're overcoming, you've set a goal, you're disciplining yourself, you are using the thought process of your will to hold an image in your mind to the accomplishment of that, and fear and doubt creep in. Actually, the way that it works is doubt usually creeps in first. That causes us to worry. Worry causes us to go into fear. It's a whole process of using our imagination in a way that is not effective. It's very damaging. And it's damaging on a whole host of levels, because it can also then, if it's persisted in, really begin to affect your self-esteem. But the moment that those come in, the mind is hijacked. And being hijacked, it starts to use its imaginative qualities to see things that you don't want to experience. And we could then, like, all of our being at that moment gets sucked down this rabbit hole of fear and worry and doubt. And it literally begins to sabotage the whole process of what we want. Because then it may be that fear and doubt and worry come in over something rather small that you're doing in the achievement, but then it affects the whole vision of the achievement itself. Because if the doubt, worry, and fear succeed in stopping you in the moment, what ends up happening is that you will expand that vision into the entire process and eventually corrupt the entire vision itself. Because then we start to think, well, maybe I can't do this at all. Maybe this goal is no good. Maybe this really isn't my purpose. Maybe God doesn't want me to have this. Maybe I'm not good enough. So we start feeding that dog in a way that it has great corruptibility to the overall vision and purpose of our life. It kicks you down. It kicks you down, and then when you're down, it kicks you down again. It damages the self-esteem, which is the internal image of how we see ourselves, how we think about ourselves. Whether we're coming from a place of great possibility in what I can do, or am I coming from a place of I don't think that I can, I'm not good enough, nobody else thinks that I can. And it eventually gets into the rabbit hole of self-pity, which is totally destructive then at that point, because that is the disintegration on a soul level of who we actually think we are about ourselves. Not good. To put away aimlessness and weakness and to begin to think with purpose is to enter the ranks of those strong ones who only recognize failure as one of the pathways to attainment, who make all conditions serve them, and who think strongly, attempt fearlessly, and accomplish masterfully, right? So that is where we want to stay, and that's where we will stay if we stay away from allowing doubt and fear to creep in. The will to do springs from the knowledge that we can do. So think about that, because he's giving you the process of thought here. So One of the biggest questions that I get is, okay, so here's something I want to do. How do I do it? How do I do it? And the truth is, nobody really knows how you do anything. We figure things out as we go. Even if something has been done over and over again, I can give you the pathway. I could say, here's how to do it. But your journey will be different. Your journey will be individualistic to yourself. So it's really important to know that if we engage in our faith that we can do something, the how to do it will spring forth from that. He goes on to say, doubt and fear are the greatest enemies of knowledge, and he who encourages them, who does not slay them, thwarts himself at every step. He who conquered doubt and fear has conquered failure. His every thought is allied with power, and all difficulties are bravely met and wisely overcome. His purposes are seasonably planted, and they bloom and bring forth their fruit, which does not fall prematurely to the ground. That's where we see the divine timing come in, because it's absolute now linked with the thought and purpose. Thought, allied fearlessly to purpose, becomes a creative force. He who knows this is ready to become something higher and stronger than a mere bundle of wavering thoughts and fluctuating sensations. He who does this has become the conscious and the intelligent wielder of mental powers. Think about that. Now, he goes on to talk about the thought factor in achievement. And he says, all that a man achieves and all that he fails to achieve is the direct result of his own thoughts. Period. End of sentence. All that a man achieves and all that he fails to achieve is the direct result of his own thoughts. So it's how we think about what we do, but also how we think about what we think about. In a justly ordered universe where loss of equipoise would mean total destruction, individual responsibility must be absolute. Why? Because if I am going to understand that my success or my failure is really based on how I choose to think about things, if my thought about anything is projected onto someone else or something else, I give away the great power of responsibility over to that thing or that person. The moment that I do that, I'm done. Unless I take it back, it's over, because I step into the erroneous belief that someone else has power over my destiny. Nobody has power over your destiny. Only you have power over your destiny. If I slip and I give it to somebody else, and that will show up in the form of blame, I'm blaming another person or another thing, the power's gone. I've given it away. But I can just as easily take it back. He says, a man's weakness and strength, purity and impurity, are his own and not another man's. They are brought about by himself and not by another. And they can only be altered by himself, not by another. His condition is also his own and not another man's. My condition, my circumstance, how I'm experiencing something is mine, even if I have 10 people with me. You know, if I'm on a bus and I've got, so let's say, 20 people, we're all on this bus together. The bus gets in an accident, right? My experience of that accident is mine. Even though everybody else had it, it was in the accident also, my experience is different. It's my own. If I'm in business and something goes right or wrong, it's my experience, even if other people are in that experience with me. He says his suffering and his happiness are evolved from within. As he thinks, so he is. As he continues to think, so he remains. If we don't change the way that we think, we're never going to change the condition. We won't change the condition. And wanting other people to change is not going to change the condition. It won't. It's really important to understand that. A strong man cannot help a weaker unless the weaker is willing to be helped. And even when the weak man must become strong of himself, he must do so by his own efforts. Develop the strength which he admires in another. None but himself can alter this condition. It has been usual for people to think and to say, many people are slaves because one is an oppressor. Let us hate the oppressor. Now, however, there is among an increasing few a tendency to reverse this judgment and to say this: one man is an oppressor because many are slaves. Let us despise the slaves. The truth is that the oppressor and the slave are cooperators in ignorance. And while the seemingly to affect each other, are really afflicting themselves. A perfect knowledge perceives the action of law in the weakness of the oppressed and is misapplied power of the oppressor. A perfect love, however, seeing the suffering which both states entail, condemns neither. A perfect compassion embraces both oppressor and oppressed. He who has conquered weakness and has put away all selfish thoughts, belongings neither to the oppressor nor the oppressed, he is free. A man can only rise, conquer, and achieve by uplifting his thoughts. He can only remain weak and abject by miserable by refusing to lift up his thoughts. Before a man can achieve anything, even in worldly things, he must lift his thoughts above slavish animal indulgence. Now, what is he talking about there? He's talking about just living for the feeling in the moment, right? Like when you choose to do something and you're going to go after a goal, in the moment, it may be uncomfortable. It might be uncomfortable to get out of bed early in the morning and go for a run. And in the moment, if you choose the slavish animal indulgence that he's talking about, it's like, no, I'm going to stay in bed and sleep for 20 more minutes, but then I'm running late for work, so I don't have time to go work out. It's in the moment that that decision is made. He says he may not, in order to succeed, give up all animality and selfishness by any means, but a portion of it must at least be sacrificed. And a man whose first thought is bestial indulgence could neither think clearly nor plan methodically. He could not find and develop his latent resources, and he would fail in any undertaking. Not having commenced manfully to control his thoughts, he is not in a position to control affairs and adopt serious responsibilities. He is not fit to act independently and stand alone, but he is limited only by the thoughts which he chooses. There can be no progress, no achievement without sacrifice. That means letting go of something of a lower nature to gain something of a higher nature. And a man's worldly success will be in the measure that he sacrifices his confused animal thoughts and fixes his mind on the development of his plan and the strengthening of his resolution and self-reliance. And the higher he lifts his thoughts, the more manly, upright, and righteous he becomes, the greater will be his success. The more blessed and enduring will be his achievements. That is fantastic. So listen to this a few times. Get that desire right in your heart. See the image of what you want and see how this lesson will help you get there. We'll see you on the next Successful Mind podcast. Later.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.